Reading from Vrindavan Mahimamrita, Prabhupada Saraswati. And this is section 14 in our notes. It's called The Enchantment of the Love Land of Play. We're hearing different verses explaining how everything is attainable in Vrindavan. Sri Vrindaranya, Vrindaranya Yasho Bhamrita Lahari Samalokato Vivalame Tristir Vabhatu Vrindavana Mahima Sudha Varido Majatadhi. Maybe I recorded this already. I have it marked over here. Sri Vrindaranya Bhumo Luto Mama Tanor Vivala Ananda Pore Sri Vrindavana Vrindanya Satvesh Aha Tata Ito Dandavan Mainati Syat. Let my eyes become overwhelmed watching the beautiful nectarine waves of the forest of Vrindavan. Let my intelligence become merged in the nectarine ocean of the glories of Vrindavan. Let my body roll on the ground of Vrindavan, absorbed in spiritual bliss. May I always offer obeisances to all the living entities residing in Vrindavan. Dandavan may nati syat. Nati means obeisances. Sankhya Puravaka Nama Gana Nativi. They were Sankhya. All these things, Sankhya Nativi, Sankhya Puravaka Nama, Sankhya Gan, Sankhya Puravaka Nama Gana Nativi. They were counting so many numbers of obeisances, so many stutis and stotras and prayers, so many malas, so many rounds of japa, Sankhya Puravaka Nama Gana Nativi. So Dandavan, may I'm offering obeisances by offering Dandavats. Aha, Rindaranya Satvesho, aha. All the living entities. My eyes become overwhelmed. Lahari Samalokato Vivalame. Let's look at another translation here. 114. May my eyes become overwhelmed with ecstasy by seeing the nectar waves of Vrindavan's beauty. May my intelligence drown in the nectar ocean of Vrindavan's glories. May my body become agitated by the swiftly moving currents of ecstatic bliss and thus roll about on the ground of Vrindavan, falling down like a stick, because Dandavan means actually possessing the qualities of a stick. Falling down like a stick, may offer my respectful obeisances to all the residents of Vrindavan. So that's the complete form of obeisances to offer Dandavats. Dandavats means to offer eight of your possessions at the feet of another. Obeisances means, Dandavats means to offer eight of your possessions at the feet of another. And those eight, of course, are the physical body, include the physical body and the mental body. Kayo Manovakya. Dandavats means Kayo Manovakya. Offering Dandavats means to offer the Kayo Manovakya. Kayo means body. And Vakya means words and Mana means mind. So the real meaning of Dandavats, and it's not that we see some sannyasi say, Dandavats Maharaj, Dandavat. Very common Bengali expression in Gaudiya Sampradaya. One devotee meets another. Dandavat Prabhu, Dandavat. Maharaj, Dandavat, Dandavat. But it has a very deep meaning. That's the definition. There's the head and the chest and the two arms and two legs. And these are like six body parts. And then, which is the basic corporal body, or the kayo. And then the seventh one is vakya, means words. You speak something, pranam mantra, or so-and-so jai ho, out loud something is spoken. And then the final one is mind. The mind is offered. When we say Dandavats Prabhu, who's actually offering their mind at the feet of another person? Offering a mind means that I'm filling my mind with you. If I'm offering my mind to you, means I'm giving you my mind, so fill my mind with you. So we come into Guru, we come before an Acharya or an advanced spiritual personality, and we offer Dandavats. We lie on the ground And we're offering our mind. First we offer our mind. We offer our mind and our hand. Here, take my mind. I offer it to you. Please accept it. Now shape it and shape it properly and fill it with Krishna Bhakti. And then my body is submitted at your feet for your service, and my words are glorifying you, which is a perfection of speech to glorify Uttama Shloka, to glorify the Lord and his devotees. This is a perfection of speech. And this perfection of mind and intelligence is to be fixed in the service of Guru and God, Guru and Krishna. This is Dandavats. Prabhupada Saraswati, this is what he means when he says Dandavan. Possessing that quality of a danda, that submission and non-argumentative mood of a danda lying at the feet of another. Dandavan, this way when I see the trees of Vrindavan, I offer dandavats to them and I glorify them. Oh, glories to the Kadamba trees of Vrindavan. Oh, Kadamba tree, all glories to you. Oh, Gomata, all glories to you. And what happens is the entities of Vrindavan are all conscious beings. And they're all Krishna conscious beings. The trees and the birds and the cows and the people for the most part. And when one is interacting with animals, like cows or trees, and showing heartfelt respects and offering dandavats, falling like a stick before them, the living entities understand that. They understand your mentality, actually. Because it's one thing if you offer your body, you just get down, oh, there's a cow. It says in the scriptures you should offer respects to a cow. Or offer respects. I get down and offer respects to this tree. But the keynote is to offer your mind and your words. To actually speak the glories of, understand and recognize the glories of the entity whom you are offering dandavats to. And recognizing that, understanding it, then you will act accordingly by speaking something heartfelt and genuine and true. And the mind will be saturated with that genuine mood of submission to that living entity. Namaha. No, namaha. Namaha. Maha means ego. Maha. Maha. Maha means ego. No ego. I am yours. Please be merciful to me. I am your servant. Because we have the experience of trying to understand what dandavats means, studying it to some extent, and trying to practice offering dandavats to different living entities with the proper mentality, the best we can muster, and some genuine glorification. And obviously the people cannot perceive the quality of your actions, the backing of your actions. What is the bhav? It's not only Krishna or Bhagavan that can gauge and measure and clearly perceive the emotional content of a jiva's heart, but even a regular human being can also, to some extent, measure the quality of another person's heart. You can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool Krishna any time. I like to say it like that. Therefore, as we say, it's told in Shastras that Krishna is Bhava Grahi Janardhan, that he accepts the Bhav, the essence of Bhav, because he can read the emotional content of the heart. Is it real? Is it true? Is it genuine? Is it fake? Is it false? Is it imitative? Oh, monkey see, monkey do. Is it monkey see, monkey do, Bhav? For example, we have... Well, there's one cow in this neighborhood, and we understand the glories of Krishna's cows, and to some extent we understand, and we appreciate their existence, and we feel indebted to them and grateful to them. But moreover, they're seeing them as individual devotees, of the Lord and wonderful, pure servants of the Lord. When one offers dandavats to, say, this cow, for example, whether one has any food, it's not that it's some kind of, you're giving food so they recognize you, like a dog becomes faithful to anybody who gives him bread every day for 5 days. If there's some dog outside your door and you throw him a piece of bread every day, then he'll become, wag his tail when he sees you and become your friend. That's a different thing I'm talking about. Even without any giving any food to reinforce behavior, B.F. Skinner's behavior reinforcement program. As a psychology, everyone, if anyone studies psychology, they have these models they give. Reinforcement, give a rat a pellet and it'll ring the bell to get the pellet. All these things. But the cow, you just simply offer dandavats out of love and appreciation, and the cow looks at you. And then you do that regularly, and pretty soon you have a relationship develops with that cow. And then when you come down the street, they'll look and they'll look at you like they're saying hello. They'll move their head in such a way. Or when you go to pet them, then they'll put their head on the ground at your feet. They'll offer dandavats in return. And those gwals and coward boys, or men rather, that take care of cows, generally it's the men these days. Krishna's time, the ladies, of course, and men also. The gopis and gopas, they're all cowherd people, Brijbasis. But the men, they remark that if the cow puts its head on the ground like that at your feet, it means that it's submitting to you and accepting your heart from her heart. Have you noticed? So this is the reciprocation of two devotees genuinely feeling towards each other. As we heard yesterday in Chaitanya Bhagavat, about the reciprocation between Advaita and Nityananda when they met after some separation in Shantipur, how they ran to each other and lovingly embraced, and they started tumbling on the ground, wrapped in a tight, loving embrace, and then laughing and breaking the embrace and trying to touch each other's feet and in utmost humility and appreciation of one another and gratitude. This is Vrindavan. So this is Dandavan Me Natisyat. May I always offer obeisances at the feet of all living entities who reside in Vrindavan. It's not as simple obeisances. Obeisances, Prabhu. Or we say Pam Ho or something. What do we say, Pam Ho? In this modern abbreviated world, everything's abbreviated. Life is also abbreviated. People don't live very long. They used to live to be 100. And now they're lucky they live to be 60 or 70. Everything's abbreviated. So now our communication is abbreviated. Our feelings are abbreviated. Our moments together are abbreviated. Our exchanges are abbreviated. Our life itself is abbreviated. 100 years has become 50. I have no time. Everyone somehow or other, no one has any time. I have all the time in the world for computers, but no time at all for people. This seems to be the modern adage, whatever. The modern way. I have unlimited time for computers. I have no time for people. I'm busy. I have to go home and go on the net. Bye. Can't stay long at this party. There's a special podcast tonight. Can't stay long, chant Hare Krishna or the Sankirtan. Anyway, everyone knows what that means, but I don't. It's unfortunate. So in that line of abbreviated communication and activities and relationships, then we say, Pam Ho, please accept my humble obeisances. Or even some people say, humbles. Or something, please accept my humbles. I've heard that also. People write longhead, and please accept my humbles. But this concept is something new, obviously. Abbreviated consciousness, abbreviated behavior, abbreviated lifespans. But 500 years ago, at the time of Prabhupada Nanda Saraswati, people did live to be 100, and people did have the qualities. They actually had the Dandavan. We have Bhagavan, Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Bhagavan means one who possesses Bhagya, so many auspicious, Sadeshwarya, Purna, Aishwaryasya Samagrasya, Viryasya Yasashashriya. At any rate, the idea is that Bhaga means possesses all wonderful qualities. And Bhagavan, van, the word, the suffix van means to possess, so van, dandavan means actually you possess these qualities of a danda, and there's eight qualities of the meaning of dandavan for a Vaishnava is eight qualities. And I mean, there's the, as I mentioned, the body, mind, and words are, that means dandavan. If you possess this mood, it's a mood. The words convey your mood, the mind conveys your mentality, and the body is the expression of both. How you present yourself. So bodies may lie in the ground, but the minds are elsewhere. The words are not even spoken. Gada shakti matam apiha vishayesh vatyanta nirvedato drikpate drikpatep yasahish nirtati shayanam yoge samud yoginam pramandara saikalina manasam govinda padambuja Tvandva vishtadiyam cha mohanam iram brindavanam swergune. The minds of those who are extremely attached to material enjoyment, who, due to renunciation, are extremely intolerant even to look at material enjoyment, who are advanced on the path of mystic yoga, whose hearts are absorbed in the happiness of impersonal Brahman, and even the minds of those devotees who are firmly fixed at the lotus feet of Govinda are bewildered by the transcendental qualities of Sri Vrindavan. There's three tattvas that are very difficult to understand. What are those three tattvas? Guru tattva, Dham tattva, and Shiv tattva. The glories and identity of Lord Shiva, and the glories and identity of the Guru, and the glories and identity of Sri Dham Vrindavan. Very difficult to understand. Brahma could not understand. Indra could not understand. Greatest saints and rishis could not understand. Trivasa Muni came, he could not understand the glories of Vrindavan. He once went to Gokul, because someone told him that Bhagavan, Swayam Bhagavan, was playing in the dirt in Ramanreti and Gokul. So we're saying that Durvasa Muni heard that Swayam Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, was now a child, Gopal, playing in the sands of beautiful, pleasurable, delightful sands of Ramanreti and Gokul as a three-year-old boy with a black string around his waist and some tiger nails tied around a necklace. He was wearing a tiger nail, two tiger nails embedded in gold around his neck, and a little string of golden bells around his waist, and a little black string. And he was running around playing with Balaram and Sridham and Subal and all the boys. A little three-year-old boy, no clothes. The boys in the village, they don't wear any clothes. They start wearing a shirt when they're about five, but still no underwear, because they may be, something going on. So if there's only a shirt, then there's no problem for anything below that. So he was playing like that. So then Durvasa Muni went there, and he sat under a tree kind of secretly, and he was observing under a banyan tree that boys were playing and laughing in the sand, and they were wrestling and playing hide-and-seek, and he was amazed. He was totally chamatkar. How is this possible? Who is this? What is this Vrindavan? I'm Brahm. This is Vrindavan. I'm totally Brahm. What is this Vrindavan? I'm Mohanam. Diya Mohanam. I'm bewildered. My intelligence is totally bewildered by the qualities of this Vrindavan. I don't understand. And what's happening here? What am I seeing? He's watching, and they're laughing, and then they stop, they're hungry from playing, so they stop, and they sit under a tree, and they get some leaves and pieces of bark and a leaf here and there and whatever they can find, and they take out their little tiffin carriers and they take out their samosas, and someone has a little clay container tied with a leaf on top and some vines tying it tight, and there's yogurt inside. Some boy, you know, Krishna starts climbing a tree like a monkey. He goes to the dak tree. There's one tree called dak. He climbs up the dak tree, and there's some leaves that are kind of, when they come out, they unfurl like this, and as they stay in the tree, they curl up naturally like this. That's what they do, the dak leaf. There's a type of banyan. And then it curls up like that, and then it becomes a beautiful natural leaf cup. When Krishna picked a bunch of those leaves, these dak leaves, and came down to school, he could share his yogurt with all the boys, because he had the best yogurt in town. So he put it, everyone had their yogurt and their samosas and kachoris, and Sridham, his mother, made a big clay pot the night before, put it on the roof, it was nice and cold, of rubbery. Big clay pot of 2 or 3 kilos, 5 kilos of rubbery. So much malai and thick cheese on it, it was like unbelievable. So they start serving this out on pieces of bark or some tree. One boy used a tree, another boy got a big rock and he put it there and put the yogurt on the rock and some else. And they're all sitting around laughing, eating, and Krishna took some rubbery, and then someone put their hand on his plate and took it off his plate. He said, "What is that?" And then he grabbed their samosa and stole the samosa from another boy's plate. And Vaswini's watching. So then they finished. Then they were playing some game where the boys follow the birds. There's birds in the tree, and they shake the tree and scare the birds. Then the birds fly out of the tree, and then they start flying along the banks of the Yamuna on the sand. And so their wings are giving a shadow on the sand. The sun is coming from the top side, and it's giving a shadow to the bird. And then the boys try to chase the shadows on the sand. And then they watch, and then whoever, how long you can follow. As soon as you lose the shadow, oh, you lost, you know, then you're out of the game. The next one runs. So then that very tree where those birds were, Durvasamuni was sitting under that tree. So when they went and shook and they started running, they said, "Hey, what? Who's that? There was somebody over there." So then Krishna went back, and the boys went back, and they saw this rishi with his eyes like this, like, "What's this? And what are these boys doing? Oh, I don't believe it. What is this Vrindavan? What is this Balagopal? What is going on?" And then Krishna went over to him, and then he said, "Hey, Rishi, hey, Baba." And he came up and he sat on, and he came up and pulled his beard. "What are you doing? What's wrong? Wake up. Are you all right? Are you all right, Baba?" And Krishna pulled his beard, said, "Wake up, Baba. You're in a trance. It's all right. What's wrong? You're all right?" And then he's like, you know, and Durvasamuni, he's a great pundit and he knows all the Vedas and he's a great yogi, and Rishi is considered an amsha of Lord Shiva. Durvasamuni is like like Shakti Vesh of something of Lord Shiva expansion. Durvasamuni. So he's So then Krishna ran away laughing with the boys. And then Krishna just came back and he put his hands on his hips like this. And he looked at Durvasamuni and just looked at him in eye like this. And Durvasamuni was like spellbound looking in Krishna's eyes. And then Krishna opened his mouth like that. And he inhaled, and Durvasamuni went inside Krishna's mouth. And inside the mouth, Krishna took him for a whole journey through the whole universe. Inside his mouth, he traveled all over the universe and went to all these planets. And he went to Goloka Vrindavan, and he saw Krishna. Then he came out, and Krishna opened his mouth, and he came out again. Then as soon as he saw Krishna, he came out, he offered Dandavas, and started praying, "Oh my God, who are you? I don't know who you are. What is this Vrindavan?" So this is an example of how the greatest yogis, and he, of course, he's also the greatest yogi and a great devotee also, the greatest yogis and the greatest devotees are bewildered by the transcendental qualities of Vrindavan. Ananda Kanda Bhagavan ki, Bala Gopala ki, Gopala Deva ki. So I'll read another translation here. Chapter 21, same verse, that's 21, right? The materialists who are strongly attached to the objects of the senses, the ascetics who cannot tolerate even a glimpse of sense happiness, the earnestly endeavoring yogis, the impersonalists whose minds are merged in Brahman happiness, and devotees who have entered the lotus flower of Lord Govinda's feet are all enchanted by the transcendental qualities of Vrindavan. So this is a, as I mentioned, this whole section is about the enchantment of the love land of play. So it's so enchanting. That's a more accurate and correct translation than the first one we read, because the first one said bewildered. So taking off the meaning of bewildered, of course some yogis are also bewildered because this lila is there, Durvasa Muni also. But moreover, it's saying they're enchanted, they're attracted. They get some glimpse of Vrindavan, or they see some, they hear something about Vrindavan, and they become enchanted and they want that Vrindavan. They want it so much they want to take birth there. And they want it so much they want to give up their form as rishis and become females. They want to give up their great rishis and great vidvans and pandits and shrutidharas. They're the shrutis themselves personified as the most respected and renowned sages of knowledge throughout the entire universe. But when they heard something about Vrindavan and the glories of Krishna and the gopis in Vrindavan, they said, that's it. This is the most enchanting thing I've ever heard. This is the most enchanting prospect I could ever imagine, to live in that land of Vrindavan and to be a gopika servant of Shamsundar Sri Krishna. I want this. Forget about my yogi body. Forget about my rishi, brahman, pandit body as a shrutichari. I want to become a gopi. I became so enchanted, they did austerities for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Then they took birth in Boma Vrindavan from the wombs of gopis, the shruticharis. And then finally they entered the rasa dance. The dance was Krishna. This is the enchantment of the land of Vrindavan.